This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Lucha Undead Reborn. This is another episode in our Get to Know the PTBN PWO series. We've got a very special guest, a man who I've always had an affinity for. It's very interesting. I've always really liked kind of your analysis, you on podcasts, your breakdown, all this and that. I feel very sorry if you've ever written stuff on the website. I never even actually read any of it. I just never noticed, or maybe I did. I'm bad about looking at the bylines on stuff, but I already had a big time kind of fandom for you and your opinions and everything. I guess I should just give out your name and not make you have to continue waiting, although I could stretch this out for maybe 15 minutes. But I got Mr. Jordan Duncan on the line with me today. Jordan, how are you this evening?
I am stunned that I have a fan. That's actually pretty cool. So.
Yeah, I always liked your style, and then come to find out after a couple months, maybe a month and a half of doing This Week in Wrestling over there with Pete, talking about different stuff, someone on the board, the world famous board from the F4W, they commented on one of the episodes and they said, "I kind of like Tim. He reminds me of a more analytical version of Jordan Duncan."
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, that is so funny that someone would randomly say that. And I never thought much of it because I don't really think that we're that similar. But I took it as a compliment, obviously. I thought that was very cool. And I was like, I think I responded just saying, that's exactly what I'm going for.
All right. Sounds good, man. And by the way, I do not write very much at all for the website. My contributions at this point are basically the Seinfeld rewatch series because I get to watch Seinfeld, you know. So very, 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 very lazy as it comes to the written part of the site.
Okay, yeah, because like I said, I'm really bad. I don't ever read the bylines on anything. That's not just PTBN. That's everywhere. I'm like
right.
I'm the worst person on the forums, like message board forums too, because I never look at who's writing the post.
Who's posting it?
Yeah, I just read the posts, so I always lose track of who, like, people. I think it's always so funny because throughout my life on the internet, I've like been on different forums and boards, and people build up a repertoire, and they're like, "Oh, I know that I know you, whatever." Like Tabitha Stevens, that's a porn star's name that randomly came out. 647. You're always, you know, a bigger fan of Joshi matches because you named yourself after a porn star. You obviously would be. And then I'm always kind of like, how do you build up this rapport with this person? Because I never remember from post to post who's who.
I don't even remember like my own family's name half the time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. I'm just so bad at that. But I definitely always remember your voice. That's one thing I can't, you know, get away from. And you've come on different of the kind of Vintage Vaults episodes, and then recently starting your own podcast there, the Rank and File. I've loved it so far. I mean, every episode so far has been really good. It's like a appointment listening, appointment viewing, but for the ears, I guess. So that I never
get let's talk off the air about my upcoming shows, see if you're interested in jumping on any of them.
Oh, yeah, of course. But so what I like to start out with, obviously you're a PTBN guy more than PWO, but I think what I try to make my first question is, are you now or have you ever been a member of the PWO board?
No, I'm limited basically to reading the Greatest Wrestler Ever stuff, which really got me interested, and it got me close to chiming in, but I'm like, I can't. I just know my personality. If I dove in, I would dive in. You know what I mean? So
oh, yeah.
I'm not officially registered. I love the Greatest Wrestler Ever and all the reads and stuff. But for my own personal time, I knew I couldn't do it because it would just eat up so much time. Because I'm the type that gets into the lengthy message board fights and, you know, all of a sudden I realize I've posted 80 times in 30 minutes, you know, so. For my own sanity, I try to avoid message boards now because I know they'll be the death of me one day.
Right, and I know you're a busy man. You got the full family and everything, so it's tough. For me, luckily, I'm still not single. I'm married, but no kids and nothing like that, so I got time to get on there and argue with people about...
Yes, you do. Well, my kids are getting older, so I'm starting to get some time.
Yeah, but I'm the same way. That's why I'm like, I don't know how far I want to, you know, dive into this. We got the voice over at the Voices of Wrestling, they're doing that ROH honor roll thing right now.
Yep.
I'm I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna really sink my teeth into this one, and I'm just gonna lose track of everything.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth there because there's a couple guys I really want to like go to bat for, but then I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know if I want to do it. Just a couple guys that I know will probably be listed, but I just really want to voice my love for them. You know, that just to kind of get my voice out there, I think would be kind of fun to do, but I haven't yet, so still got time.
Let's take a little detour on the road here. Let's start out with that. Who are the guys?
You know, the biggest one that I would jump out at, and I think he'll probably be listed, but when I was really, really into Ring of Honor the most, you know, probably 10, 11 years ago, Homicide was my favorite wrestler in Ring of Honor. Homicide and Samoa Joe, which I don't think I need to go to bat for Samoa Joe. I think he's probably going to be listed and listed quite high. But Homicide is a guy who I think is listed, but I don't know where he'll wind up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would really like to sing the praises of Homicide because I think he was such a good babyface in that run when he took Brian out, and that might be because Daniel Bryan or Brian Danielson, so to speak, was such a good heel. But Homicide was just such a he really sucked me in. You know, like, because Ring of Honor at that time was still very much in its infancy in some ways. It's only been around a couple years at that point, and a lot of people still wrote it off as just, oh, it's just wrestling, just technical wrestling, not a lot of characters. And here's a guy named Homicide, of all things. And it's like, you know, he was so much character, and he had so much charisma that he was my go-to when I argued with people. Again, like I said, I get into those online arguments, those people that would just kind of write Ring of Honor off as like vanilla, just wrestling, just for the sake of wrestling. I'm like, well, watch a Homicide match, you know. But that's probably the one that I would immediately probably go to bat for is Homicide.
Huge, yeah, he's a huge guy of mine. He's one of the few posts that I've made so far. Homicide was one that I went to bat for, just like you. My question right now, I'm very openly saying my question isn't necessarily if Homicide makes my list, but if he makes my top five.
Yeah, right.
I think he's one of the preeminent ROH workers in every sense of that. I mean, he hits every quadrant. He can, you know, brawl, obviously.
Yep.
He can fly lucha. He can do lucha style technical work and strong style technical work, which I think is very interesting that he could grapple on the mat. Yeah, like in that kind of more Mexican inspired style,
yeah,
and the Japanese style. Wild bloodbaths and the charisma through the roof. And something that I thought of as you were talking that I never really took the time to put out there was that Homicide has a charisma that's very special in that war with Brian Danielson in ROH, he was the babyface and he made that entire crowd relate to him, and he's not them.
No, not at all.
You go to an ROH show in the early 2000s and more guys in the crowd look like Brian Danielson with the beard and the shaved head, and they're wrestling nerds who are talking all about technical wrestling from Japan. I would say you'd be hard-pressed to find any, you know, Puerto Rican gang members who, you know, roll around on the streets of New York and are from Brooklyn, who talk the way that Homicide did and act and dress the way that Homicide did, but they instantly bought into him as real and they instantly fought for him as their guy. And right, that's saying a lot for a guy like that to have that babyface charisma with a crowd that has a harder time relating to him.
Right. And especially feuding against, like you said, against a Brian Danielson who is going to have to work to get booed and is going to have to work to get them to go against him because they adore him so much. Because it's not that the people rejected Danielson. It's just they accepted both of them in their roles. And Homicide just happened to be the babyface in that feud.
Yeah. And it worked out perfectly.
It worked really, really well. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, so we'll go. That's our little diversion tonight, but
sure, okay.
we'll get back onto the road here. So, where did you come in on PTBN? Were you on the Live Journal days, or were you?
Yes, I go back to Scott Keith's blog. With back in Live Journal, it was Blog of Doom. It was like RSPFAQ, which I think was Scott Keith's old internet name from way before most of us were ever even on the internet, you know, and I was just a commenter there, and there was a switch where he switched out of LiveJournal to some other format. I think it's like Discus or something like that. And there was a core group of us who liked it the way it was and said, no, we want to stay this way. So we started our own little offshoot, and we called it the CWO. There was a guy, because, you know, on LiveJournal, you come up with your own name, you know, and one guy's name was Tom Cruise, and he was the guy that kind of spearheaded it. So we became the Cruise World Order, and there was probably 40 or 50 of us that moved over, and so a lot of them just happened to be PTN names. Steve Willie was one of them. Glenn Butler is one of them. Justin Rosero is one of them. Newer guy to the PTBN nation, Andy Helene. And a lot of us just talked there for years and years, and as social media kind of evolved and stuff like that, less and less people were using LiveJournal, so we weren't growing. We were just this very small but close-knit group, you know, where we would talk all day, and it stopped being about wrestling for a long time. We'd just talk about everything. And then once Facebook kind of took off, we're like, hey, we can actually see what each other look like. We can actually learn each other's real names. You know, because for years I would talk to these guys, and Steve Willie was not Steve Willie to me. He was Willie 3138 or whatever his name was, you know. But when Justin kind of got the idea to start a podcast, he came to us in that group and said, hey, does anybody think this is a cool idea? Would anybody listen to it? We're like, yeah, we'll listen to it. And pretty soon after that, he's like, we need more people to be on it. Anybody want to be on it? And I'm like, yeah, we'll be on it. So I was on one of the very first episodes. So I've been around. It's wild to me how long I've known some of the people that I know on the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have known these guys probably – thinking back, it's probably 2004, 2005, so that's over a decade, you know, several of those years before you even learn a real name, which is still kind of odd, but it is what it is, you know. It's just, you know these people, you talk to them every day, and I consider them to be real friends. My wife knows Steve Willie without ever having met Steve Willie, just because I talk about Steve Willie. This turned into a Steve Willie fan cast, man.
Hey, I'm not gonna argue with that. I'm a fan of Steve Willie also, so I'm not gonna argue with that.
Yeah, he's a really good dude. So, but it's just a really cool thing how I think about, you know, how much that has progressed, you know, to where not even that many years ago, you go onto a LiveJournal and you just have to read a comment thread and hope that your stuff doesn't get, you know, nested and lost, to you're on Facebook with each other, to where we're podcasting, we're Skyping, you know, I text some of these guys, and it's a really cool thing, you know, that I think wrestling, whatever I feel about wrestling at the time, I'll always value it because of the friendships that it brought me in life. So, but yeah, I'm an old school guy in that sense. I'm a Scott Keith, I'm from the Scott Keith side of things.
Yeah, so that was quite a while back, and then unfortunately, I think me and you were talking about it earlier, but I lost a recording with Todd Weber, who also goes
way
back.
He's another one, yes, correct, yeah.
Yeah, and we kind of went over everything, so it sucks. It's like, I know, I'm going to re-record with Todd, obviously, but I told him, listen, there's no point in trying to recreate the magic. We just have to accept that amazing podcast that we recorded is just never going to see the light of day. So we'll regroup, we'll come back in a couple of weeks, and we'll do something completely different, not trying to recreate anything there. So I almost feel ashamed, because I almost feel bad if he's going to listen to this and he's going to hear me talk about topics that we talked about in that. But I also know that they may or may not come up again. So I'm kind of like, geez, I'm somewhat tortured here now. I don't know what to do. So when I was talking to him, we got into it more, where he led his way, because he really was the charge of the comic book end of the PTBN coverage. Now, you mentioned doing the Seinfeld, and then you do, obviously, Rank and File. To begin with, I mean, I know you like wrestling, right? You watch wrestling.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You seem to be a little bit more on the indie wrestling scope of things than some of the other guys who are more just the
WWE.
Yeah, just the WWE and the lot like that. So, I mean, what were you thinking was going to be your niche, or did you even from the beginning think you were going to be putting stuff out, or were you just going to, hey, I'll guest on the Vintage Vault here and there? What was what was your end game, or what was your thought of the nation as it was forming?
You know, funny enough, my idea that I had that really went nowhere was I thought I'd be more of a TV thing, because I watch a lot of television, and I thought I'd be like, you know, talk about different television shows, recaps, things like that. Really went nowhere except for this Seinfeld thing, which wasn't even my idea. That was Justin's idea, and he just dragged me along with it. So, but the idea I had would be to kind of just be, you know, maybe do a weekly thing on different shows that I like, stuff like that. One of the first and only articles that I wrote was about 24. That was when 24 was relaunching after a few years off. So I ranked the seasons, and I've always liked doing like top tens, countdowns, things like that. It's an easy read. I know it's what I like to read, so why not write what I would like to read? And so that was the idea I had. I just never went through it, mostly because I just like doing podcasts more than I like writing, because I like talking to people rather than sitting at a keyboard and just typing away. because I like, you know, just having the open discussion where somebody might counter or something and you immediately think of something, you know, you might not think of if you're just busy trying to get a paragraph in or something like that. So
you were originally, the idea was just to do kind of TV stuff like that. So from there, God, it feels like just recently the Rank and File kind of started. I can't even think.
Yeah, it did. Well, I can tell you why I decided to do Rank and File, because there's a very specific reason for it.
We'll definitely get into that. And cool. In fact, now is a great time for it. Let's dive into it. Rank and File. I love the concept. I love the show. But I mean, what, maybe someone who doesn't listen to it, or maybe someone who's given it a taste but they don't quite see it. What's the genius behind it, and what's the origin of it?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's like you said, it's a pretty simple concept. It's top 10 countdowns, but not just myself. A couple different voices. Every month we do a different topic. I give the guys the topic ahead of time, and we even discuss it, maybe tweak it a little bit. We always kind of come up with an idea, but we want to approach it from a way that you haven't always seen. For example, the one I always go to is at the Royal Rumble in January. We did a Royal Rumble show. And if you go online and Google top 10 Royal Rumbles, you're always going to see 1992 at the top, you know, 2001 at the top. And so we didn't want to just do what's our top 10 Rumbles, because everybody talks about what the top 10 Rumbles are. So we did top 10 Rumble performances just to try and, you know, do a list that people would be interested in, but not everyone has seen a million times, you know. And so the idea of having other people on is just so it's not just one list. We get some varied responses and different reasons and different explanations. And as we're doing all that, we assign points to each ranking. Number 10 gets one, and number one gets 10, and we tally them all up, and we announce our winners at the end. Pretty simple concept, but the reason I came up with it and the reason I wanted to do something like that is I was doing Main Event probably more than any other show on the net, on the Place to Be Nation. And Main Event is a fun show to do, and I enjoy getting on there with Scott and whoever's on there with me. But it's basically a current events show, and it's mostly WWE. And the problem with that was I was really, really sour on the WWE product. This is, you know, last October, November or so, and I was so down on the WWE, and I was listening back to an episode, and basically I'm just complaining about everything. I'm like, man. I really come off negative. I really come off like hating everything. And I'm like, you know, and that's not me. Like, that's not my personality. Like, if you know me in real life, you know I'm not like a guy that just hates everything. And I don't even hate everything as it relates to wrestling. There's a lot of wrestling I love. It's just WWE was what I was on to talk about, and I didn't like it, you know. So I'm like, well, I want to do something where I can actually talk about stuff I enjoy. And so that's where I came up with the idea of Rank and File, because if it's your top 10 – it's your top, you know, it's the stuff you like the most about whatever. So I just wanted to really do a show where I can have stuff to talk about that I like to talk about. I'll still get on and bash WWE. I don't mind doing that. But I do like to have an outlet where I can say, hey, you know what? Here's some stuff that's cool, and here's some stuff that I like. And just to give some praise to kind of offset the backlash that I give in other places.
Yeah, I can totally relate with that. I mean, I have conversations with people about that, and luckily for me, doing This Week in Wrestling, all we cover is international and indie stuff. And,
sure.
And, you know, I've heard people – it's great because I get the best of both worlds on that show, right? Our show covers the WWE stuff, but I don't have to watch it because other people talk about it. and so I'm just like – I can't imagine, but I hear people talk about it. They say, oh, most of the fans, most of the people who are going to listen to your podcast – only are going to care about WWE, and I'm like, I couldn't watch it. It would drive me insane. I would go nuts if I tried to just review WWE-centric material, because it's just not for me. It never has been. Mm-hmm. I started out my wrestling fandom on NWA and then started moving over into indies and Japanese wrestling before I even really knew that WWE existed. When I was really young, Bret Hart became my favorite wrestler. When I was a kid, when I could kind of watch some WWF stuff and I got into it, but I had already had a base of wrestling fandom, and the reason why he was my favorite was, well, he's in the big company, but he wrestles like a guy from Japan, or he wrestles like a guy from, you know, NWA, and it's kind of like getting to see a real wrestler on the context of this cartoon wrestling show, and that's why it really worked for me. From there, but now it's just, I couldn't do it. So the Rank and File is great because, I mean, you guys have done non-wrestling topics, obviously, as well. Sure. I don't know how much more stuff you have in the pipe to do, or what you coming down the line to to do in the non-wrestling vein, but I really enjoy those episodes as well, where you guys are kind of, you know, breaking down. I can't even remember some of the last ones, but it's like different movies or did you do something holiday related?
Yeah, we did Christmas movie characters.
Yes,
that was which was fun with Aaron George, and Aaron George really stole the show there.
Yeah,
very obscure rankings.
But yeah, a lot of stuff like that. That's really cool, and
yeah, it's fun, you know.
Yeah, so we're gonna take a quick break now that we've kind of set our foundation, getting your PTBN background. We'll go ahead and listen to some ads from the PTBN side of things, and then we'll be right back to get into kind of maybe a little bit of your personal side.
Sounds good to me.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I had mentioned getting maybe slightly into the personal stuff, so let's just kind of start out. What let's see. I mean, you mentioned having kids. You know, they're younger, or yes, they're getting older. Obviously, they were younger at one point. You got your whole family. You're out there in Michigan, which I think maybe people don't even realize that. I know a lot of the PTPN guys are in on the East Coast and stuff, but people don't really know the geography, especially coming from the West Coast. I don't know the geography that well.
Sure.
But where did you grow up when you were a kid? Where did you grow up, and what was the plan? What was Jordan Duncan going to do when he got out of school and started his adult life?
Oh, this will depress me because I did not achieve any of those dreams. But I'm actually born and raised in Michigan. I've lived in Michigan my whole life, and it's funny because I've been told I have a Michigan accent. I'm not sure what that sounds like. There's definitely a UP accent. UP is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which is more Wisconsin than Michigan, but more Canadian sounding, I guess, would be the accent there. I don't know. Do I have a Michigan accent? You'll have to answer that for me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not familiar with what one is, but again, if it's all I've ever known, I guess I could have it and not know it, you know?
Yeah, I never noticed it. I usually pick apart accents pretty good, and I've never really picked up anything, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, Southern accent, New York accent, other types, but I don't know. I mean, I have a nasally voice, but I don't know that that's an accent, so to speak. But anyways, you know, I've lived in Michigan my whole life, Metro Detroit area, near Detroit, but not in Detroit, just in the suburbs, suburb kid. Grew up wanting to be a professional athlete of some kind, like most boys my age did. I went through my phase of wanting to be a pro wrestler, just like most kids who grew up watching wrestling. I idolized Michael Jordan as a kid, which living in the Detroit area when the bad boys were around was not the funnest thing because I got picked on a lot for it. I had the last laugh because he ended up ending their run and winning some titles. but, you know, when I was younger, I really wanted to be a basketball player. Which is funny because I'm about 5'7" and I can jump about 3 inches off the ground now. So genetics were not going to let that happen to me. But What's funny is I always thought being a writer of some kind would be really interesting. And, you know, even into high school, I took creative writing classes and I really liked the English side of things. And I've just always enjoyed being able to speak and to talk and to, you know, share. But when I was younger, you know, as a teenager, probably in high school, I really thought writing would be where I would go, and not at all where I ended up. Not to say that I regret it or anything. It's just, you know, your desires change as you grow and as you realize certain things. Not to say that I ever realized I couldn't be a writer, but I certainly realized I couldn't be a professional basketball player quite early on. There was a point where I would get my shot blocked by people without jumping, and that's when you have to call some things a dream and nothing more.
Yeah, but, you got to hang it up at that point, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still pretty good at 2K, and I've seen Space Jam a lot, so I guess that counts for something. So,
do you root for the Monstars when you watch Space Jam? Or hope they can pull it out this time?
You know, I mean, if they do a remake with LeBron James, I might have to root for the Monstars because I'm not a fan of Cleveland in most areas or most senses of the word. Although, I went to NXT in Cleveland back in February, and it was a really awesome experience. It was a really cool part of downtown Cleveland. Really cool people, so.
Yeah, and live wrestling is where it's at, no matter what.
Oh, yeah, man. Live wrestling is the funnest thing. That's what I love about my kids being into wrestling is taking them. I'm actually going to Monday Night Raw this Monday. I have no desire to be at the show myself, but because I'm bringing my boys, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, they're going to have a great time no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like you said, born and raised in Michigan, pretty near to where you're still at, or?
Oh, yeah. I've lived in a couple different places, but where I live now is actually just a few blocks from my childhood home where I lived from, like, when I was born until, like, 10 years old. So, I mean, I wound up really right back in the same neighborhood, which I live in a city called Garden City, and the joke kind of around our city is you either never leave or you always wind up coming back to Garden City. That's just kind of the thing. You know, there's most people who just never leave Garden City or – they always find their way back, and I found my way back. Sure enough, it didn't take long, but I'm back, and I love it. You know, I know people kind of think here Detroit, and they think, oh, wow, you must live in a terrible place. It's not really at all. You know, a lot of the suburbs are actually very, very nice, so including ours. We're very, very, very middle class.
Yeah, my wife and her family, I guess, started out in Detroit. So I know it's not all glamorous like in RoboCop. It's
yeah, no, can't all be that great.
Yeah, no, it's also a real city. It's just the same as anywhere else. And I grew up in a place, I mean, not dissimilar. I think some of the people who listen to this probably are back where I'm from, are back home in the Coachella Valley. And honestly, it's the same there. The idea that you never leave, or if you do leave, you always end up coming back. There's something about growing up in a smaller area, you just kind of get used to it. People always always kind of have that pull. Luckily for me, but just me personally, I don't think I have that pull. I moved out to Los Angeles, and I think I'm stuck. I think I'm here for life. It's kind of my place.
That's cool.
So you mentioned getting into the Seinfeld kind of thing, and then also your kind of somewhat aspirations of being a writer. Did the idea of writing movies, television, anything like that ever cross your mind? Because I know Adrian, my usual co-host on the show, he's a big time into kind of screenplays, screenwriting, and stuff like that. I wonder, that ever crossed your mind? Was that something you were interested in, or?
Yeah, that's actually specifically what I liked the most, and not so much like novels or books or anything like that, but, you know, like plays and things that could be brought to life. You know, when I was in high school, a friend of mine named Paul, who is much, much more brilliant than I am, we would sit down together in yearbook class, and we would basically ignore everything that was going on because it's yearbook. All you got to do is paste pictures into some grids, you know, and we'd just write and write and write. We'd come up with plays and skits and sketches and things like that. We were big Saturday Night Live fans at the time, and I always would love to do something like that, like a SNL type thing or something, you know, more modern, I guess, like a Key and Peele or just something where you can, you know, write something quick, put it together and see it performed. I think that would be the coolest thing. Another guy that would write with us is actually a stand-up comedian now. His name's Jesse Pop. He's not really well-known. He got on Conan O'Brien's show once, though. But he would write with us, and he's the one that really pursued it, and he's doing his thing. I think he's in New York now, or I don't know where he is. I've actually lost touch with him, but yeah, just kind of stuff like that. You know, not when I say writer, not a book, but sketches, skits, plays, short little improv type things, a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, no, that's honestly what I'm into too. I tried to do some sketches and stuff like that before, but I just don't even have the patience to write that much, and I'm not a big fan of improv, so I just kind of fell apart. I also, like you said, the talking thing is that's why I like doing the podcast, because there's just something to the conversational aspect and kind of improvising in that regard. I'm not necessarily I don't like the improv, stage improv, acting out scenes as much, but in a conversation for me, it works. So, what was your basis for that? Cause I mean, we talked, I don't know if you listened with Rob McCarron, but we talked about kind of radio and what got us into the idea of wanting to do podcasts and communicate in that regard, and the fan of it, or being a fan of that medium. I mean, what was your basis? Were you a fan of any kind of talk radio, or was it kind of more video and just interactions?
It was more
TV.
Yeah, it was more because I graduated high school in 97, and it was more my lunch table. We would get together. We'd all talk about stuff we watched, stuff we liked, and stuff that made us laugh, because I just love to make people laugh and get people to make me laugh. I mean, we would die laughing all the time. But SNL is really probably the one thing we all had in common. SNL during those, when I was in high school, was, you know, the Farley days and Phil Hartman and even Adam Sandler, who kind of is punchline in himself now. But, you know, back in those days, he was still looked at as a pretty unique comedian. Chris Rock, guys like that. And also The Simpsons, too, believe it or not. We love The Simpsons. And all we would do is sit around and talk about that stuff and come up with our own ideas and come up with our own jokes, and I would write them down a lot, and I probably still have, at my parents' house, at my mom's house, you know, my old high school journals and notebooks and stuff, and all the characters and skits, which most of them were just ripoffs of SNL stuff, because, you know, we're 15, but that's pretty much what inspired us more than anything, was SNL, and Kids in the Hall, too.
Yeah, Kids in the Hall was such a seminal show, I think, is for a lot of people, just
showing
them that it could be kind of out there and different and still good and accepted. So,
and it's one of those shows where if you find someone like, oh, you watch Kids in the Hall, you know, it's like that bond is there immediately.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I don't know, let's get into, I don't know, now I'm like trying to think what else what to get into here. So I know you're definitely a big fan of sports. You mentioned, you know, wanting to be a basketball player. Did you play any other sports when you were younger?
Yeah, just baseball a little bit. I played baseball. I never played football. My parents wouldn't let me. My mom was afraid I'd get hurt, which is probably a good thing, because I probably would have gotten hurt. But baseball and basketball were my go-to thing. And the older I got, the more I got into video games, you know, which took over. And I didn't like going to practice. I was a lazy kid, and I'm probably still a lazy adult, and I own it, and that's fine, you know. But, you know, like – and I think that's where I fell off. You know, when I was younger and it's just pure athleticism, I was as good as most of the kids in my class and I could keep up. But then when I got to that age where you got to practice and you got to put in the time, I'm like, well, I got Earthworm Jim. So, you know, I think I'm going to play this for a while. So games kind of took over over baseball specifically. Baseball, I grew very bored of the older I got. So I still like to watch it now. And I feel like the older I get, the more I've grown to baseball, because – you could just put it on and leave it, and it's just perfect background noise.
Right, and you can kind of check in and out when you want to.
Right, yeah, and it's a long season, so you don't have to follow every game. You can just – I haven't watched a Tigers game in a week and a half, you know, but I can just jump in tonight if they're playing and catch up real easily. So,
yeah, it's also weird because baseball, like wrestling, is something that you can get insanely obsessed with and oh, feel the need to watch every last little bit. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's just kind of unfortunately where I'm getting to in wrestling, where I have to watch every possible thing that happens, or else I feel like I'm, you know, behind on the kind of that life.
Oh, and there's just so much. There's so much wrestling now. And what's tough is it's all available, which is a blessing and a curse, I guess, for someone like you who has to watch everything. It's nice that you can find everything, but man, when you sit down and think about how much you watch and then how much you still have to watch, it's like, wow, I guess I'm not doing anything else ever again in my life, you know?
Yeah, right. And then, as we're recording, and I mean, this obviously isn't coming out live, but they just, PWG is just announcing the last, I think, four guys that they were doing for Bola this year.
Oh, cool.
Which I usually try to go to every year. I have for the last 3 or 4 years. And,
oh, wow, really?
Yeah, so they do Sabre, Ospreay, Pentagon Jr., all very exciting. But you talk about just the ability to get and just how crazy wrestling is right now. The last guy they announced is Jushin Thunder Liger.
Wow.
So I'm breaking that news to you here on the air, but Liger's going to be in Bola, which is just kind of nuts. Wrestling in general is nuts. And just to think, I mean, he's going to be wrestling in Reseda, California in front of 700 people.
Right.
And it's Jushin Thunder Liger who's been wrestling since the 80s. I don't even know if it's been since the 70s. Guy is just a legend. And that's where wrestling is now. There's a company, a small company that wrestles in front of 700 people, or that does shows in front of 700 people, and they can bring in a legend like Liger for this random thing. And that's just kind of the new media, where then also, like, the PTBN can go from being, you know, not even a Facebook, a live journal group, to being this blog website where the whole world can see all of our ideas and see what everyone has to say, and they can go check out kind of you breaking down episodes of Seinfeld with a group of people talking about, you know, a show from like 20 years ago, which is still just as funny today, I assume. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll kind of close out. We'll hit that home stretch. So listen to the ads from the PWO side of things.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
All right, Jordan, so we're back, and we're going to kind of, I guess, yeah, get into the closing stretch. These shows I'm finding, I'm trying to keep them short, bite-sized, so that people can kind of get through an episode on maybe a lunch break or something like that real quick.
Sure.
But I'm also finding that I want to get in deep, and I start wanting to go down a rabbit hole of questionings, and I'm kind of going, oh, no, we're running out of time. So what I usually like to do at this point is kind of just say if someone – let's say someone like me coming into PTBN – just now as a fan of only the podcasts, maybe checking out the articles here and there, what's something about Jordan Duncan that they would be shocked to hear? I mean, finding out that you grew up wanting to be a professional basketball player, like I said, maybe not shocking because everyone thinks kids, you know, they have dreams and aspirations that aren't necessarily realistic. But, I mean, you know, it's still kind of a little bit out there. I mean,
sure.
What is there something like along those lines, anything else you can think of?
Well, there's a couple. One is going back to the Chad Campbell interview you guys did. I'm also kind of a board game geek, like Chad is. I think he's a little more into it than I am, but my wife likes to play with me. I got a couple friends who we really like to get into games like Catan, and we recently just bought a new card game called Bang, which is like an Old West type scenario thing, and I just love to spend a Friday or Saturday night sitting around and playing board games like that, not like Monopoly or Clue, you know what I mean? But like those really heavy strategy games that sometimes can take 2-3 hours. Big fan of games like that. And here's one that I think a lot of people probably don't know is that I'm actually an ordained minister, believe it or not.
Whoa!
Yeah. So I'm not going to come on wrestling podcasts and be like, let's talk about the Book of Mark, you know, I'm not going to talk about that, I guess, you know. I mean, I don't mind talking about it here, but, you know, nobody wants to listen to a wrestling podcast to hear about that. So.
Yeah, no, and this is exactly the kind of thing that I want to get into. That was like the most perfect answer. That's something that's just insane, you know. I mean, as someone who's listened to you enough on podcasts, I would have never crossed my mind.
Right, yeah.
You're so right. You never bring that up in any way. So, I mean, is that what you do, or is that?
No, yes and no. Because the church that we attend is actually pretty small, so no, it's not. It doesn't pay my bills. I actually have a home business. It's a title company, deeds, mortgages, stuff like very boring. So we won't talk about that. But it's something that I've been doing for three years now. So, and one thing I always say, and you know, people who maybe aren't religious or anything like that, I think they kind of expect, you know, like a holier than thou. And I feel like I'm a very down to earth person, a very normal, easy to get along with, which I don't know what that says about my people, what that says about my faith. But a lot of people are stunned when a religious person is also a normal person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
So, but it is, you know, I understand it because there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people who aren't quite normal. So,
well, this is what I always say at my work, and it's kind of an extension of the squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of thing. It's the problem is that a lot of times people give the most attention and kind of give preferential treatment to the people who are the biggest jerks of a group.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When meanwhile, what you should be doing is rewarding the people who are nice and good. And just,
right.
And that's why the ordained minister, who's Jordan Duncan, who's also a well-rounded person who talks about Seinfeld and wrestling and does a podcast where they rank the top 10, you know, whatever random, you know, Christmas movie characters and other such kind of frivolity. That's the person who should be your picture of what, you know, an ordained minister looks like, or this is what a religious person who's committed to their religion looks like, because there's more to it than that. I mean, it's the basis. Obviously, your religion is your basis for who you are as a person, but it doesn't necessarily 100% define.
Right. It's not all that I am. Yeah.
Yeah. The characteristics of who you are. I mean, it's the basis, but you build a house on a slab, and you don't sit around talking about the concrete underneath the building. You talk about the top of the building, right? That's just how it works. So there's so much more to you than that. But that's very interesting to even find out. So and it's really cool. So what do you do? You lead the church, you do weddings, I mean, mass.
Yep. Weddings, funerals.
Yeah. You
can book me. I'm currently not booked right now. I actually do have a wedding in about 5 weeks or so, which an old high school friend of mine is getting married. This is he's not going to listen, so let me just complain real quick. He's getting married on August 20th outdoors. So I'm like, oh, awesome. I'll wear my suit outside on August 20th. Sounds great. Thanks, Brian. You know,
that's amazing. Yeah, that's my birthday is the 21st, right, of August.
Oh, okay.
And I've lived in Southern California my entire life. So my birthday has essentially been the hottest day of the year multiple times in my life. So it always kind of sucked in that regard. And I like to tell the story. One time I went up north because I got family in the Pacific Northwest, and we're up in Seattle for my birthday visiting my grandparents. And it hailed on my birthday 1 year up there. And I was like, this is where I need to be. You know, in the end of August, it's hailing. That's my kind of weather.
You'll have to come out to Michigan sometime then. We'll show you all the weather in the span of a week.
Yeah,
exactly. Snow, rain, sleet, everything. We actually just had a huge thunderstorm yesterday that there's a gas station about 5 blocks from my house. And, you know, you go to a gas station and it's like the pumps are under like that awning, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
The awning collapsed.
Ooh.
I know. Like, I saw the pictures. I'm like, holy crap. Did nobody died? Nobody was hurt? So it's kind of a thing where you can just look at it and be like, isn't that cool since nobody was hurt, you know?
Yeah, but exactly.
Just from a thunderstorm. So I'm like, wow, that's that's wild.
Oh, that is crazy.
I'll send you the picture when we get off the air.
Perfect. We'll put that in the description of the show.
Okay, sounds good. I had to screenshot it for my Snapchat, so.
All right, so I don't know if you even have I think you have Twitter. I probably even follow you.
You can find me. Let me go on and find out what my own name is. My name is MstarJD, MstarJD.
Okay, and that's
– so you can find me on pretty much any social media. I'm on Snapchat. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm private on a lot of those, but not Twitter. I think I'm public on Twitter, so anybody can follow me there.
Okay, and then obviously Rank and File comes out sporadically. What's your guys' schedule?
We try to do monthly. And we kind of got off schedule in May because a guy who I had scheduled to come on very, very last minute had to bail, and I couldn't find a replacement in time. So May was the first month where we were off. And we were back in June, and we've got our July one coming up in the next couple of weeks.
All right, perfect. So people can check that out. They can check out the Seinfeld Rewind and any other projects, anything else you got coming down the pipe?
Not just me. I would like to, as we talked about earlier, I think I might, try and get my voice in there on that Ring of Honor Top 50 project, which isn't really, just a place to be thing. That's more of a Voices of Wrestling thing, correct?
That's both.
Yeah. So, but no, I just like to go to kind of tag along for the ride wherever anyone else is going. I say, I'll go too.
All right. And then we'll, yeah, we'll have to have you back on with Adrian, and we can get into some of that screenwriting nerdy stuff on
that'd be fun, man.
and then maybe get into some other stuff too. Now that we've kind of built the base for you, we've built up the backstory. Now we can get in. You can get past the origins and kind of. Cool. Yeah, we don't have to do like a.
This is my origin story, right? Yeah.
Yeah, as I say, we don't have to do like the Spider-Man movies and reboot the origin story every time.
Right, because nobody knows how Spider-Man was created.
Yeah, exactly. Although maybe like Spider-Man, it would be nice if we both kept getting younger every time we did it. But we'll have. All right, Jordan. Well, thank you.
Something.
Yeah. All right, Jordan. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are on the PTBN Pop Network now, but also, just for all of you old-timers who have been sticking around with us since the beginning, the old feed will be disappearing. Unlike Shake Them Ropes, who run two feeds still concurrently, we will not. So you need to mosey on over to PTBN Pop. It's on Podbean. You can get to it easily by just going to placetobenation.com. And connect through there. You heard the ad in the middle of the show, so you know what other great shows are on there, including, you know, Glenn Butler, our podcast, Our Spectacular. It's a fantastic show. And I also have heard about some other interesting shows that are in the works for the Pop feed. So subscribe to the PTBN Pop feed so that you don't miss out, because this feed will be disappearing very soon.